The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everyone? We are back at it. The San Jose Sharks taking on St. Louis tonight on the road. Game 2 of a 3-game road trip. We take a look at the standings right now. The San Jose Sharks looking up in the wild card standings, currently 6th in the wild card, 70 points on the year, 2 back of Winnipeg in 5th, 2 back of Seattle in 4th, 4 back of LA in 3rd, 7 back of Nashville in 2nd, 10 back of Utah in 1st. Then you look at the division, they are going to be 8 points back of Vegas for 3rd, 9 points back of Edmonton, 14 points back of Anaheim. But one advantage for San Jose is they have 3 games in hand on both Vegas and Edmonton. So obviously, the Sharks are in a bit of a tough situation right now. They've got game or games in hand on the teams in front of them in the wild card standing as well. But obviously, these numbers are all going to even out when all is said and done. So they've got their work to do. One of the things we're paying attention to, Yaroslav Askarov is going to get the start tonight. And this is a big start for him because he obviously had not been playing well as of late. He's only had, you know, a couple of really what I would call quality performances since the month of November, really. And he's had some games where the defense faltered in front of him. I'm not going to hold that against him. But I am looking at him to have a big game tonight. And I think it's important that in addition to other guys having, you know, good games in front of him, is that the team just plays, you know, good structured defense. And that's just what it's got to be. Because, you know, you look at his most recent stats. He gave up 5 against Buffalo, gave up against 2 against the Islanders. That was a good performance. Gave up 5 against Montreal, 4 against Edmonton, 3 against Calgary, 3 against Colorado, 4 against Chicago, 4 against Edmonton, 2 against Vancouver, you know, 3 against Tampa Bay, 3 against Detroit, 6 against Vegas. You know, you don't need the whole list of it, but, you know, I need Yaroslav Askarov to have a great performance. I need him to have the type of performance that shows us that he is up to the challenge of being that netminder of the future for San Jose. Because we've seen it. The month of November, he was about as impossibly good as a netminder can be in the NHL. He had a near 950 save percentage. Nothing could get past him, and it was simply automatic. He would go out there. He was so locked in. You need to have him rekindle close to that form. I don't need the 950 save percentage, but I need something around 910 to 920. And I need the team to play good defense in front of him. You know, just like we're going to talk about here with Chris Kerber, the play-by-play announcer for the Blues, we look at a netminder in Jordan Binnington, who I know some people are very hypercritical of, but when there's a quality team in front of him, just like we saw with Team Canada, guess what? He can play at an extremely high level. And I know it's easy to blame a goalie. It's easy to say, well, he was the last line of defense and the puck got by him. You've also got to look at things and say, okay, well, what really caused this? What was the main, you know, point of contention to why they had the opportunity in the first place? And oftentimes there are defensive breakdowns before it gets to the goalie. And you want to make sure that your goalie can stop the shots that he can stop. But sometimes it's on far more of the team than it is on the goalie in the first place. So that's, you know, that's just one of the things I look at with Askarov. Even though he's only had some good performances, there are other performances where the team has faltered in front of him. You can't always count on your netminder to bail you out in every single situation. So, you know, I'm just looking for a good performance from him. I'm looking for a good performance from the team. We know Macklin Celebrini has success against the Blues. I'm looking forward to seeing that as well, I would hope. And then you want to see other guys step up as well. You want to see the other guys get into the mix. You want to see Will Smith to have a good game. You know, Tyler Toffoli, we will see whether or not he is back into the lineup. He is a game time decision. They could use some of his scoring because we've not seen the offense come to life as of late. You know, I'm just hoping that the Sharks can get momentum rolling. So with that, we will preview tonight's game and get into a couple other topics with Chris Kerber, the play-by-play voice of the St. Louis Blues. Chris, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Well, it's a good day. You wouldn't think it's a hockey day with the weather here in St. Louis, but it's a good day, and then we'll drop back into the 50s and 40s tomorrow for people.
Yes, yes. Get back more of the norm for people who just get a taste of some of that. It's probably not humid yet, but at least some of the heat you'll get in a few months out there in the Lou. Let me ask you about desperation, because I've been looking at this game tonight and thinking, which of these teams is more desperate because St. Louis has been on a run, 7 out of their last 10. And, you know, the month of March has been very kind to this team. And with the air of desperation in the air for both these teams, is the St. Louis viewpoint that it's too little too late, or do they feel they can still push their way into the wild card situation?
Well, listen, I think mathematically you look at it, you go to the rink every day, you say we're still in it, there's a chance. And I think it was probably about a week and a half ago when the Blues went up to Winnipeg, a victory in that game against Winnipeg would have put them to within 3 points of a spot. And it's very different because none of the Pacific teams, as you know, have really played well coming out of the break at all. So now the reality of it is, though, is the Nashville Predators have gone on a run. And while the Blues made up 8 points in the span of about a 2 week window, which is very hard to do, now, despite the fact that they're still playing at that same pace, the Predators have improved and kept the Blues at 8 points out. So look, mathematically, you're involved, you're in it. Realistically, I don't really think that you are. And you look at where the Blues are right now, and if the season ended, they'd have a top five pick. And as you guys know very well from just a couple of years ago, those high picks when you're having a down year can be franchise changing. And I think the Blues could really use one of those moments. And I think a high pick like that would make the pain of this year well worth the game.
So what is the 30,000 foot view on where this team is, though, going into the final month of the season, or final 3 weeks, I should say, rather, and assuming they do miss out on a playoff spot, in terms of what they need to do in the offseason? Because it's in the West this year, because parity reigns supreme. I feel like a lot of teams feel that they are quote unquote in it or a move or two away.
Well, I mean, look, the cream of the West, the cream of the West is by far Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the rest of them, and then you've got the weaker teams. And yet at the same time, for like every year but two since this playoff format got started, two non-COVID years, there's a chance that the five playoff teams in the West, five of the eight could come from the Central again. I mean, the Pacific, I think, has only had one of the wild card spots two, maybe three times since that, you know, that 12-13 season. Mm-hmm. So, and again, those are non-COVID years, of course. So where the Blues are, look, they made a philosophical change decision 3 years ago. They had Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko, Nico Mikola, Noel Achari, and Ivan Barbashev. They were all going to be free agents. They decided, because you still have Buchnevich and Thomas and Kyrou and Parayko and Falk and Binnington, they said, if we decide to make this change now, we're going to have a couple of years of pain, a few years of pain, but we think that this is going to actually keep us from going into a scenario, frankly, where like the San Jose Sharks have been, where you're looking at a 7-8 year window without making the playoffs. And last year, they ended up with a heck of a run that got them to the second round, to the game seven of the first round of the playoffs. This year, they took a step back. That's not unusual. That can happen. But because of the decision they made, the picks that they got in some of those trades, we now on this Blues team this year see Dalibor Dvorsky, Theo Lindstein, and Otto Stenberg. They're three first-round draft picks from 2023, Dvorsky being the highest of them at a 10th overall pick. So I think the Blues are still kind of in that retool process, but the cupboard is not bare. You've got Thomas, Kyrou, Snuggerud is having a terrific rookie season. You know, Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberger, you got with the two offer sheets from the Edmonton Oilers. And now you're putting Dvorsky and Stenberg and Lindstein in the mix. Even with the trade of Shen and Falk, the Blues are continuing that growth process. And, you know, honestly, while San Jose has a superstar in Celebrini, the Blues don't have that. But these two teams are probably pretty even with about where they are on a competitive level.
Just before we move on to the matchup, what's the latest on the Robert Thomas injury? And obviously, I know he's not going to play tonight, but the fallout from the injury when it occurred the other night.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird one. And what really made it weird is if you go back and you watch that play, his stick got stuck in the tuck of Pierre-Luc Dubois' skate. And that didn't help his momentum. Dubois' stick got stuck in the tuck of Thomas's skate. And that's what helped aid him getting flipped around. No real update other than he didn't practice yesterday, being told he's just day-to-day and he's not playing today. So Dalibor Dvorsky is going to get a chance to play in that top center spot with Snuggerud and Holloway. And honestly, since the break, the line of Snuggerud, Holloway, and Robert Thomas has been one of the best lines in the NHL, save any line that has Nikita Kucherov on it.
No, very good point. But no, it's just an unfortunate injury. Hope Thomas gets back soon. He's a fun player to watch. What were your takeaways from when these two teams met not too long ago?
I think we saw competitive teams, like I said, two teams that within reason are pretty close to the same level. The Blues, you know, the Sharks may not have that deep of a defense yet, you know, and they're very heavily reliant on the way Celebrini plays. The Blues might have a little more depth all around, but don't have that game changer that can carry the load the way that Celebrini does. So I think over the years, and I'll go back to since I, you know, got here with St. Louis in 2000, you know, some of the best games that this team has had and played and some of the best playoff series have frankly been against the San Jose Sharks. And that doesn't seem to be anything different. There's a lot of excitement that Celebrini's playing tonight, even from St. Louis fans. I have three daughters that are excited he's here. I had four nieces actually call me up and say, you got tickets for the game tonight? You want to say Celebrini play? Well, you know, you live in St. Louis, right? And so I think that's exciting for the game. I think it's exciting for San Jose, exciting for the National Hockey League. You know, and then when we were just out there, you know, a couple weeks ago, and then, of course, we'll be back out there, you know, for Monday night. But the you know, for me personally, I've always thought that, you know, the atmosphere in that building when the crowd is there makes it maybe the best U.S.-based hockey building, you know, for in the U.S. side of the border in the National Hockey League. I'm thrilled to see the fans back and coming back in San Jose. They should be back with the young talent that you guys have. And, you know, so I'm excited for tonight. You know, the way the Blues have played, and I know the Sharks have been struggling a little bit lately, but Celebrini has had some really good games in his career, young career, including his first ever game against the Blues. And I would expect today to be no different.
You get two teammates from the Olympics going against each other again in Binnington and Celebrini with those two guys, just in terms of the, you know, the matchups that they were able to play with through the Olympics. You know, I'm just curious, you know, with Binnington and, you know, his up and down nature, were you surprised at all that he has been such a stud in these international tournaments in the last couple of years, just because I feel like everyone's waiting for the, oh, well, you know, Binnington is not the guy that he was, quote unquote. And then suddenly he shows up like he has in the Olympics or the Four Nations and just looks like he's, you know, in any big moment, he's certainly ready to step up.
No surprise at all. And that's because I've seen Jordan Binnington since his first game in the NHL. And the one look, you'll know this because you watch the development of the San Jose Sharks and you're going, okay, this team's not as bad at times as they've been. They're probably not as good. And right now you're looking at a scenario, obviously, where you're 18 points better than you were a year ago. And, you know, and maybe expectations are probably a little ahead of where the team actually is. When it comes to the St. Louis Blues, the only reason they've remained competitive, you know, 4 or 5 points out of a playoff spot 2 years ago, in a playoff spot last year, you know, they, again, could have pulled it within 3 points of a playoff spot as recently as a week and a half ago, it is because of the goaltending, and Jordan Binnington is a big part of it. His numbers, no doubt, are way down, nowhere near he wants them to be. And you can't argue with the numbers. I get it. But you just got to watch what's going on day in, day out. And when you see the grade A scoring chances, the Blues are not a good team defending in the slot in front of the net. They weren't before the Olympic break. They appear to be a much better team now. You look at the chances that were given up. You look at how bad the penalty killing has been. And you realize, you know, that, yeah, some of it is the goaltending. And right now the reason the team is really good is because of the goaltending too. But that's not all of it. And so when he got to the Olympics, like there was, I mean, zero doubt in my mind that, and make no mistake about this, there was the most pressure that any one player had of any team in that Olympic hockey tournament was on Jordan Binnington.
Agreed.
And he once again lived up to it. So, look, I'm biased. I'm an unabashed Binnington honk, but that's because I look at the demeanor. I watch him on practices after games, whether win or lose. I see him in the locker room. And the guy is just a big-time game stud, and he's fantastic. Now, we'll see Hofer tonight, having said all that.
Right, right.
We'll see Joe Hofer tonight coming off of a 3-0 shutout. But, yeah, no surprise, you know, with Binnington there. And the one thing you could also see was John Cooper's admiration for this goaltender. So we'll see what happens. He's got another year on his contract here. We'll see if the Blues, if somebody wants to take a stab at him. And, and try and get them over the summer, or if he and Hofer are the tandem again. And on a personal level, I hope it's him and Hofer again next year, because I really do have confidence in this goaltending group.
Well, that's the thing that gets me, is that if the Blues were able to sneak in, then suddenly they become a team that's incredibly sneaky, dangerous. And that's, I know that, to your point, like you said, we watch the, you know, what Dallas, what Colorado, what Minnesota are right now. They are the class of the West. But I always think that when things have that much disparity, that there's always that much more room for another team to sneak in kind of out of nowhere and have, you know, a crazy season. Now, obviously, you're familiar with that with 2019, just as I am. But I do think that because parity reigns so supreme in the NHL this year, or competitive balance, as Mr. Bettman would like me to say, that going into these playoffs, I feel like I am as ill-informed as I have ever been, just because whenever things appear to be clear and cut and dry, that's when I end up being my most wrong about who's going to end up getting hot and what's going to happen.
Yeah, listen, you know, the regular season in the National Hockey League, there's a certain style, and then that style becomes just pure manhood when it gets to the playoffs, right? You know, but you've got to have goaltending. Very rarely do teams win in spite of their goaltenders. You know, and you guys saw that in 2019, just how good Jordan Binnington was. You know, and I say that year, and I don't mean this flippantly or to anger San Jose Sharks fans. The Blues broke the San Jose Sharks that year.
Yeah.
I mean, they, by the time game five was done, they were a walking wounded team. And keep in mind, remember how San Jose just clobbered St. Louis in game one of the playoffs. We saw Steve Ott after the game, like, well, that happened. And he goes, don't worry about it, guys. We got them. And I mean, he literally said that in the hallway down there. And, you know, and I go back and I think of Marlowe and Thornton and Burns and, you know, and Blasek and that entire team that you had. It was a good team. And they just didn't get that extra bounce, that extra bit of luck that was needed to win a cup during that era. And they've had to go into this rebuild now. But, you know, you look at the way the NHL is, and, you know, the teams are built now that are really deep. Toronto couldn't figure out how to get their depth going, mm-hmm. you know, to make a real run while they still had the best of Matthews, Nylander, Marner, and that group. Colorado has got it figured out. Minnesota and Dallas, I think, have got it figured out. Vegas is starting to struggle because some of their older guys are getting hurt, and then the cap issues kind of come in, right? So they're battling a little bit, but you know they're going to be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think Vegas's goaltender is scarier, right?
No.
And then if you look in the East, you know, you look in the East, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen seems to be a pretty good goalie, but unproven when the, you know, the playoff time is going to come. So you'll have to wait and see what goes with that. You know that Vasilevskiy's going to be a guy, right? But I don't think there's a goalie in the rest of the East that scares the heck out of you either, is there?
No.
So that's what makes this stuff kind of wide open and hard to handicap.
No, it's going to be wide open, like you said, and I am very much looking forward to it. As a final one, what's your hinge point for tonight's game? What do you think is going to throw things in one team's favor or another?
It's going to be the fact that the St. Louis Blues, since Macklin Celebrini has come into the league, haven't really had an answer to him. So can the Blues out-depth the San Jose Sharks? You know, we're going to see some great key matchups now for Dalibor Dvorsky. The exciting part of that is both teams are basically having to play young centermen in there. So looking forward to that aspect of it. And, you know, this game could really just come down to special teams. And the Blues have not been great in either department throughout the year. So that's kind of how I look at that. I look at this as two teams that, you know, there may be a few points difference when it comes to the standings. But from where they're at, youth, and what they're counting on, I don't see a whole lot of difference. So I'm looking for something that's kind of balanced in this one, if that makes any sense.
No, I think we're all trying to figure that one out, but it should be a fun one. Chris, I'll let you go because I know you got stuff to do, but I appreciate your time as always. Have a great call, and we'll chat soon, all right?
My pleasure. Call anytime. Happy to help, and we'll see you guys out there Monday night.
Again, that is Chris Kerber, the play-by-play announcer for the St. Louis Blues. Always fun talking with him. And we will see the Blues, like he alluded to, in town on Monday night at the Tank when the Sharks are back home for the first of five to end the month of March. But this is a big one for San Jose today. Obviously, they faltered in the game against Nashville the other night. They did not show up ready to go from the minute the puck hit the ice. They need to make sure that's part of their game tonight. And we talk about them not having every aspect of their game that some of these more veteran-laden teams do. Well, this is the time. This is when they need to step up. This is when they need to show they are capable of performing at that higher level. And there's no greater opportunity than tonight against a team that's hot on your heels. St. Louis with 69 points now. They've won 7 out of 10, only 1 point back of San Jose. All right, pregame 4:30, go time 5 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network. San Jose takes on the Blues. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.